Well, it's good to be with you today. When a family is planning a trip, Outer Banks, to see the Ark, somewhere, I think usually somebody checks over the vehicle. We better kick the tires, check their pressure, and check all the fluid levels, fill it with petrol, and get the whisk broom or sweeper, clean things out a little bit. There's usually some preparation work before the actual loading up and setting out on the journey. My job this week and next week is getting the whisk broom, checking the tires, doing a few things in order to help us prepare for the retreat in a couple weeks. The theme is going to be creation. And four men are going to address four different topics there at the retreat dealing with the subject of creation. And so since I was assigned this week and next, my contribution to the retreat is going to be two messages on the subject of creation. And this is just to get us started. This is to get the vehicle prepped and ready to go so that when you have the retreat, you will benefit very much from it. You know, don't you, that the best roof on a house is no substitute for a weak foundation? In fact, the best of anything else in a house will not make up for a poorly constructed foundation. The passage that Nate read a few minutes ago tells a story, Jesus tells a story, emphasizing this very point. Here Jesus compares two men who build houses. Jesus says nothing about any parts of the houses except the foundations. There's no mention of the size or style of the house that each man builds. Jesus doesn't list the building materials that are used in the floors or the walls. No indication of types of doors or windows or inside finishes. It's just the foundation of each house that matters to Jesus in this story. Now, Jesus does add one other element to his story. He describes a storm that hits both houses. It's a pretty violent storm with heavy rains, floods, and high winds. And this hurricane-like event destroys one house, but the other remains standing. The difference, according to Jesus, is the foundation. One man, whom Jesus calls wise, builds his house on rock. The other man, foolish in Jesus' eyes, uses sand to support his dwelling. And Jesus tells this story to describe people who follow him and people who do not follow him, who do not do what he teaches or do what he teaches. I don't want to talk about houses, although I already did. And my emphasis is not the various finishes and foundations of houses. I want to borrow that story to emphasize my sermon title and a couple of weeks' sermons, God is our Creator. And I want to emphasize that as the foundation, wherever else you want to go in the Bible, whatever else you want to discuss in the Bible. I suggest to you that this subject is foundation material for Christian belief. Any other foundation is sand. This is rock. Here's a doctrine which, rightly understood, can strengthen us during the heavy rains, rising floods, high winds that beat against us day by day. We're going to say more about that next week. We're going to consider ministries, missions, marriages, and miseries next week, and how creation as a foundation for our lives affects all four of those. This truth supports most other Christian truth. Here's a doctrine which, rightly understood, can strengthen us. It's not in the wallpaper, the light fixture, the carpet category is this thing that Jesus talks about and that what we're talking about today. Creation is not light fixture related. It's foundation related. It is rebar, concrete, poured deep and poured thick, this subject of creation. Today we're going to begin with the general theme of the Bible teaches creation. Now you might be saying in your mind, duh. We all know that. We're going to see next week in those four areas whether we really know it and really live like we know it. We may find discussions for and against creation in other writings. They may even be writings of a religious nature. But our subject is that the God of the Bible is our Creator. So that's where we will begin. We'll spend our time. What does the Bible teach us as a foundation concerning the whole subject of creation and thus subheading of evolution? Here's our basic answer to most creation, origins, etc. discussions. This is our answer. We may like to come up with lots of other answers, but the answer to all of that is that the Bible teaches creation. The most positive and penetrating answer is always that. It's always the words, "The Bible says." The Bible says. Not only about creation, but any and everything else as well. The Bible says about marriage. The Bible says about this, that, or the other. And the Bible says about creation. And so there are three ideas for us to examine today. Point A, the many verses in the Bible. Now there are many, many creator and creation Bible verses. Get your concordance out. Look those words up. Look up make, made, created, and so on and so forth. And there are many, many verses. Let me point out just two. And probably the most familiar is the first verse in the Bible that says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That's in the Bible. And so that's our answer. Whatever anyone says to us, we say the Bible starts out with, "In the beginning God created." Here's the grand introduction. The opening scene to the whole Bible. Here's the prologue, the prelude, the preface and the preamble, all rolled into one magnificent announcement. God could have started His word anyway. He starts it this way. Whatever follows after Genesis 1:1 rests on these broad shoulders in Genesis. Whatever else comes looks back to this. This is where we begin. We are to read the Bible with those opening words in mind. We're never to go anywhere in the Bible and forget, "In the beginning God created." I want this idea to stick to your mind like a burr on a knitted scarf. Did you ever have one of those? Those rascals? Try to get them off. The sides of the runway for takeoff in Scripture are lit up with the bright lights that there is a Creator and that is God. You can't even take off in the Bible without that illuminating everything that's to come. We are to get this right so that there's a safe trip to the Bible. Get this wrong, And there'll be lots of dead ends and rabbit trails and other things that could be avoided if we just say, God is our Creator. Now, turn your attention to the other end of the Bible. Let's skip 64 books and go from the first to the last. The last book of Scripture is like an echo of the first. In chapter 10, verses 5 and 6 in the book of Revelation, we read this. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. What did he say? And swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven, there's the sky, and the things that are in it, and the earth, and the things that are in it, and the sea, and the things which are in it, that there should be delay no longer. So the airplane of truth that takes off in Genesis 1:1 and lands in Revelation pulls everything together. It's saying the same thing, beginning to end. Nothing is lost in flight through the other 64 books. You don't start here and end up somewhere else over here. No, you end up in the same place on this subject. It boastfully declares the same message. A creator is at the beginning, and a creator is at the end. The foundation is still there, and there are no cracks, there's no erosion, nothing has changed. It's exactly the same foundation. It's the foundation of everything that has been, is, and according to Revelation, everything that will be without a creator. There's no confidence otherwise. Let's change it a little bit. Let's now imagine that we're making a sandwich of truth. Some people say sandwich. Either way, it works. What we've done so far is put out two slices of bread. One from Genesis, one from Revelation. Now we can pile on the ingredients between those slices to make a Dagwood sandwich. You know what that is, don't you? A Dagwood sandwich is not one slice of bologna with one slice of lettuce between two pieces of whole grain wheat bread. That's not a Dagwood. A Dagwood sandwich is piled high with everything in the refrigerator. And that's what we find when we add up the ingredients about the Creator and the creation in the Bible. You start in Genesis 1:1, you end up in Revelation chapter 10, and that's the bread, and then pile it high with all the verses in between that you'll find when you check your concordant. I mean, there are verses everywhere in all the types of books of Scripture. We don't have to hunt long for creation truth. The whole Bible teaches creation. There is a creator. So that's what the Bible teaches throughout. A fair reader of Scripture should make this conclusion, whether he or she believes it or not. At least be honest and say, it's what it says. I don't agree with it, maybe, but it's what the Bible teaches. There's a creator. God is our Creator. And there are many verses in the Bible. Your homework assignment is find all the other thousands when you have time. That brings us to point B, the divine origin of the Bible. We now turn from what is written to who is behind the writing. The authorship of the Bible relates to the authority of the Bible. Authorship, authority. So who is it that produces this big and bold notion of a creator and creation? Who is it that gives out these 66 books here that tell us about God as a creator? From where does Genesis and Revelation and the rest of Scripture come? Who wrote the Bible? Of course, we understand that there are humans who participated in the written record of the Bible. We know that. Moses in the book of Genesis, John in the book of Revelation, and others are directly involved in writing down the words. But there's always another to whom these human participants defer. They never stand up and step out front on stage. They always step back. For instance, how do some writers put it when they're writing their prophecies, perhaps, in the Old Testament? They'll say something like, "Thus says the Lord." You've read that, haven't you? Or someone might say, "The word of the Lord came unto me." But let's get behind all of that to the heart of the matter. Let's turn to those two Bible passages which gather up all Bible writings and Bible writers and explain how they came to put down their messages. Two key primary passages that will help us in this whole subject of creation. Number one, the first one, 2 Timothy 3:16, the writings have come from God. Now, that ought to put a couple 50-pound weights in your lap, on your mind of truth. The writings have come from God, 2 Timothy 3:16. Isn't it clear to you that the topic in this verse is the written Scripture? It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's a word which includes all and every kind of writing in a certain category or class called Scripture. Anything that is qualified as Scripture, as the Bible writers understand it, is included here. There are no other kinds of writings in the world, but Paul speaks to Timothy only about Scripture. There are other kinds of writings. Paul speaks to Timothy about Scripture writings. And a fair reading of the Bible will conclude that this is the Old New Testaments as we have them today. That's a topic for another retreat. We can conclude that there's a group of written materials which the Christian church agrees are Scripture. But what about Scripture? What's Paul's point in 2 Timothy 3:16? The New King James Version translation says, given by inspiration of God. The English Standard Version helps us more here. It says, God breathed out. Where did the Scriptures come from? God breathed them out. That's a way of explaining the source of the Scriptures. It's not Moses breathed them out, John breathed them out, Isaiah breathed them out. No. They're involved in doing some writing, but God breathed out whatever's in the Bible. God's the author. He gave all of Scripture. It is His ideas, His principles, His message. He reveals His mind and plan and person in Scripture. Whatever is there in those 66 books, God says, that's mine, that's how I think, that's what I'm saying to you. It's His autobiography. And in particular, in our sermon series, the Scripture statements about creation are His statements. He said it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who says? God says. And we may not like it, may not agree with it, may not want it, but He said it. It's His own words. This is God's truth. The Bible clearly teaches creation, and God gave the Bible to express Himself. He did the same thing in other topics, didn't he? Start and talk about the subject of salvation. What is all this about salvation and God sending his son and so on and so on and so on? This is God's word. God is the one that says all of that. And so we believe it. And it's the same about creation. Now, we may immediately ask about the human element in writing Scripture. Didn't men write the Bible? And the answer is yes, with a little hesitation in your voice. But they wrote only what God wanted them to write. There's no independent thought or introduction of information other than what God gave to put in writing. Moses wasn't going to write, and he said, "No, I think I'll..." Let's just prove that, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. This is the other text of Scripture. Is it not clear in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that the general category again is Scripture? It says Scripture. Scripture. The subcategory in verse 21 is prophecy, which is part of Scripture. And how does Peter explain the human and divine sides of this process? Peter acknowledges that men are involved, but he says, I want to qualify their involvement. Yes, men did the writing, men had the pens, men put things down, yes, but... What's it say? It says they are moved by the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting word, moved. Did you ever go to the river with a great big old truck tube and get in on the tube and float? The current carried you along. That's this word. The Holy Spirit carried along the writers. Or you think of a child that has a balloon filled with helium and it slips out of his hand and up it goes. And where does it go? It goes wherever the wind takes it. That's what Scripture is. It's taken, the writers are taken anywhere the Holy Spirit wanted them to go, wanted them to write. Peter explains that the production of Scripture was by writers, yes, whose lives were under the total control of the Holy Spirit. This includes even their background, family, education, personality, experiences. You remember Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5? There it talks about the call of Jeremiah the prophet. And it says, before he was born, he was called. In other words, everything that Jeremiah became from birth, even through his writing the book of Jeremiah, is all part of the work of God. Scripture is not the result of human impulse or insights. The Bible writings came from God, and the Bible writers were controlled by God. And so what's the point again? It is that what the Bible says about a creator and what the Bible says about creation is what God himself says and God himself wanted written down, and that's why our answer is always the Bible, God's word, says this. That's authoritative. That's the strongest argument in favor of creation. Now, it's not that people will necessarily be persuaded by it or believe it or a thousand and one other things, but nonetheless, that's the Bible. Either we believe the Bible or we don't believe the Bible. Either we believe God gave the Bible, controlled the writers, or we don't believe that. We need to believe it. The Bible teaches creation in many verses. And every one of them originated with God. That's potent stuff. Is God to be trusted? Well, if he's not to be trusted on this subject, I'm not going to trust him on any subject. Why bother? What do you mean, singing great is thy faithfulness? I'm not sure I trust him on his faithfulness. Well, it's in the Bible. Oh, and so's creation. Brings us to point C, the needed response to the Bible. Number one, take it as the final authority. If it is from God, then it deserves to be revered as much as God himself is. And doesn't that mean that it gives the first and last word when it speaks about a creator and creation, as well as about history or archaeology or prophecy or anything else that it speaks to? It's the final authority. If it says that there was a King Nebuchadnezzar, there's King Nebuchadnezzar. Whether you can dig up an old stone something or other with his name on it is not the solution. The Bible says there was King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says there's a creator. Man or men are not above God. They're not above his word. Man is not given the privilege to correct the Bible or reshape the Bible. Rather, man's ideas, man's views are always to be corrected and reshaped by the Bible. Men do think of lots of different ideas about the subject of origins. And we would say, and all of that should be brought into submission of the fact that Genesis to Revelation says God is the creator. So whatever else we want to discuss, that's the foundation. If it isn't, you'll be like ants in a, what are they in? Hill, ant hill, running all over the place with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of speculations. The needed response to the Bible, take it as the final authority. And then point two, take it as all true. Since God is truth and tells the truth, then the Bible's true. Yes or no? We're going to take that same point and apply it to everything else. Since God is truth and tells the truth, the Bible is true on this subject and that subject and some other subject. It may not be the majority view of men. It may not be popular with educators or politicians or scientists or someone else, but that's not the issue. How many times do we read the Bible and we find the people of God in the minority? Why is the word remnant used so often in the Bible? There's that remnant, that few. Whenever the Bible speaks on any subject, including creation, it is without error. Now, we know that people can misunderstand the Bible, but that's not because God wasn't clear. That's not because God uses deceitful or elusive language. It's not because God is tripping people up. No, the problem is always with man. Man is limited. Man makes mistakes. Man doesn't think right. Man rebels against God. We've got another sermon we could preach from Romans 1 about man's reaction to God. That's the response needed to the Bible. Final authority. It's all true. So, conclusion. Our theme is God is our creator. And our lesson this week is that the Bible teaches creation. We're just kind of whisk-brooming out the back of the van here. getting some stuff ready so you can take your trip at your retreat. But this is necessary preparation. It's important because the Bible is from God. No other book writer is God's equal when creation is discussed. Doesn't matter their degrees, it doesn't matter their experience. They're not an equal to God. We don't put God and this one and try to... No. God is always here. God is always here. If he's not here, he's nowhere. You see, we build on this rock foundation of truth. Now, I have a question for you. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Is this part of the foundation for your life? Do you see God as creator, as your creator? Do you read the Bible as God's word to man about creation? Because if you do, that'll help for next week's sermon. If you don't, I'm going to really struggle next week. Next week, we're going to talk about God is our creator. This can help us. That's my sermon title. This can help us. We're not to look at it as controversy or difficulty or all sorts of debate. No. See it as practical. A confidence in the Bible, God's teaching about creation, will, does, should help us. I mentioned before, it's practical, it's useful in at least four areas that we're going to talk about. Number one, ministries, that is local church. The whole idea of creation in the New Testament is related to the local church to help us do things well and right. It's also there in terms of missions. The whole idea of God as creator is a foundation for being missions-minded. Clearly, it comes out in several places concerning the area of marriages. Jesus himself tied in creation. He says, in the beginning, it wasn't that way. Marriage, that's pretty practical in our day. And then the last one may be the most on our minds, the whole area of miseries. Got any miseries? Some old folks that I remember, they used to talk about their miseries, you know, and I wasn't quite sure what, sometimes they'd hold a part of their body or something else, but they're talking about their miseries. The Bible clearly tells us that the whole subject of creation, God is our creator, and that's a help for me in my miseries. We want to look at that next week. And hopefully this week, many verses in the Bible, next week it can help us. We'll get you onto the on-ramp to go up there on the road to the retreat. Let's bow in prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much for who you are. And